Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the punch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Now we're here.
Pulled a Fred Kirsch on us.
I almost did.
Oh, you did? Started talking with your mic off.
Mic's got to be on.
That's a Fred Kirsch Radio 101 move.
Radio 101. That's exactly right. I'm used to having it on all the time, I guess. That's probably part of the reason why it wasn't on. All right, welcome inside the playbook. Apologies first and foremost for yesterday. I know that there were some email problems, some server problems. And we had every intention of having show tomorrow.
You missed all the fun. We didn't have, like, smtp.patriots.com was down till like 4 o'clock. So if you were outside of your cubicle, like me being down here or
no access,
you know, web rate, it was, like, impossible.
No
to get
BlackBerry
on.
Or there was no nothing. iPhone.
We did have BlackBerry, but if you wanted to, like, read emails for the show or whatever, it was, like, impossible.
Oh, yeah, because you don't have that folder.
Exactly. You're not going to read them off the BlackBerry.
Right.
You know?
So there really wasn't – there was no show. I mean, I was in New York yesterday doing a college basketball game, so I wouldn't have been here anyway, but we didn't intend to leave everybody stranded yesterday, so
and then we
apologies
had,
for that.
We were going to try to have a show, Eric, but then they had locker room at like 2:30, so potential hosts all had to cover the team doing locker room.
Which ended up being for worthless anyway,
Precisely.
From what I hear.
Yeah, that's so. Anyway, it was just sort of cluster bleep yesterday, and that's just the way it works, you know?
Wow.
So we're back here. We're ready to roll today. I think we're going to kind of do away with any sort of nitpicks from the game this past weekend because we're already Wednesday.
Yeah,
we're already
time
looking
to move
forward.
On.
We need to move on. I know that'll make some people very happy. But if you decide that there's a complaint or something that you feel like is concern having to do with the last game that could affect this team next week or in the playoffs, it's fair game to bring it up. Webradio@patriots.com. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Facebook, obviously the name, John Rook, R-O-O-K-E. You can submit the friend request. And if you haven't done that, please do so. I want to be your friend, I think.
Be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. But you can then chat, you can post, you can text, you can do all the stuff that you can do on the Facebook page. And obviously it's a great meeting place as well. While we're not on the air with the program to exchange football things and ideas and stories and, you know, comments and whatnot. And then, of course, the Twitter page, at JRook, J-R-O-O-K-E, 0722. At JRook, 0722. Follow me on Twitter. That's how you reach us here on the show. There's a lot of things to get to. First, Eric, I think I'd be remiss if I didn't mention at the very least the passing of Houston Antoine. Got word of that earlier yesterday while I was in New York and had an opportunity to meet Houston when he was here. Oh, I think it's probably been a couple of years when they were doing the all-decades team thing. What a delightful gentleman. 72 years old. It sounds like he lived a full life, but to someone like me, that's way too young.
Well,
because I remember when he played. And so this is just, you know, unfortunately, the older that you get, it seems like as the days go by, you know, more and more pieces of your childhood disappear. Mm. And I considered Houston a part of my childhood in following the New England Patriots, even though I was a Texan, as you know, and followed the Dallas Cowboys, but I certainly knew of the New England Patriots, and knew of Houston Antoine, and was a big fan of him and Jim Plunkett and, oh, God, let's see, who else? Sam Bam Cunningham. You just name them. I follow the Patriots pretty closely for someone who was a Texan. And
why was that?
You know, because I like the logo. Honestly, yeah. I've always liked the old Pat Patriot logo because it was different, because it stood out. I love the red, white, and the blue. I mean, it was a classic uniform.
Yeah.
And I didn't like the Patriots for anything more, really, than the playoff. I mean, than the uniforms, because, frankly, they stunk. And we all know they stunk back in the 60s and the 70s.
Yeah.
But that's when he played, and he was one of the good players on the team. And I just didn't want this program, and I didn't want us here, you know, working with the Patriots and Patriots.com to not adequately mention him in the vein of Patriots history. Truly one of the greats. Outstanding individual. Big part of the growth of this organization. He'll forever be a part of the history here.
Plus, he has a Texas name.
Well, yes.
Probably another reason why you follow him.
That also goes without saying. A guy named Houston can't be all bad, right? Just like
you have a son named Austin.
I have a son named Austin. That's right. No, I do not have anybody named Dallas.
Bill Parcells?
He has a daughter, yeah, named Dallas. So, I mean, you know, there's something to that, I suppose. But I did want to open up with that today because clearly it was something that caught me by surprise, took me a little bit, caught me a little bit off guard yesterday, and I wanted to make mention of that. I didn't know him well.
How terrible was it that, too, the less than a day later his wife died?
Yeah, that was just really bizarre. That's really bizarre. I don't understand that. I mean, honestly, I know when people get of a certain age and their spouse dies, the will to live. You know, I don't want to philosophize here. It happened in my family with my grandfather and grandmother years ago. But it wasn't like the day after. I mean, it was within a few months. It was like six months. But I'm just, you know, it was, I understand that. I get that. You know, you don't really feel there's no need to go on when your best friend and your spouse for however many years is no longer with you. Mm. I totally understand that. It's sad, but I understand it. And I don't know the background behind it. I don't know how seriously ill either one was. I really don't know. But you're right. I saw that as well mentioned, and I'm like, wow, that's just bizarre.
It makes you wonder, though.
It does.
Things don't always happen by coincidence.
No, some things you just don't know. You're out of your control, and it just lets you know that there's got to be a higher power somewhere, you know, adjudicating here. Mm. I mean, you know, really? Think about that for a second. All right. So I wanted to make mention of that off the top. Number two, fact is that this team, and this is one thing that I really hope that you will participate in today, because the Pro Bowl announcements were made yesterday. And I think there's no question that the eight Patriots that got Pro Bowl mention are deserving. One raised my eyebrows a little bit. But I will tell you that only because he's not a regular player. I think you know where I'm now going with this. Matthew Slater.
Matthew Slater.
It's remarkable. And I know Mike Reese did a little bit on this on ESPN Boston, and I thought he hit the nail on the head 110%. It's remarkable to consider where this young man has come from when he first came in. Mm-hmm. You know, flew in completely under the radar of most draft boards. Patriots actually traded up to get him, I think, as I remember the case goes, right? Mm-hmm. He wasn't even in anybody's seventh-round pick, much less fifth-round, and the Patriots traded two lower-round picks to move up in the fifth to get him.
When they could have got him.
Oh, they could have got him in the sixth or the seventh?
No. After the draft.
Oh, after? Free agent?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
NFL.com didn't even have his height, weight, or any stats for him when he was drafted.
It's amazing.
On their draft ticket.
Totally.
Nobody did.
Amazing. And
so
I remember
they could have gotten him as a free agent.
I remember at the time when they drafted him, I'm like going, what? I mean, is this just because it's Jackie Slater's kid? Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. They thought enough of Jackie Slater, usually things don't happen like that, but I will tell you this, you know, remember when he, you know, fumbled the punt and hit off of his face mask, I think it was, and basically cost the Patriots a game against Pittsburgh,
He mentioned that today.
Yeah, did he?
Yep.
Well, you know, what a stand-up kid. Number one, stand-up kid. Number two, he hasn't really, I think, evolved into the kind of player the Patriots originally envisioned for him. They thought of him as a kick returner. Didn't they?
Primarily? And a coverage guy, I think.
All right.
But, yeah, special teams.
But a special teams kick returner.
I don't know if they expect him to contribute as much as he has on either side of the ball in his four.
Well, that's where I'm kind of going with this, because I think where we thought he was going to be more of a kickoff type of return guy, he's evolved into, and this is where I'll give Mike Reese credit. He said he's evolved into a Larry Izzo kind of guy, where he's really a valuable special teams, you know, kick return defense defender. He's always flying to the football. He's always the first or the second guy to the football on kick returns. And then the guys on the team respect him enough to have made him a special teams captain this year.
Yeah.
And now he's gone above and beyond the duty where, you know, he's actually come in and been a backup wide receiver and also a backup safety defensively. And it's wonderful to me to see his peers recognize not only his meaning to this team and to what the Patriots are doing, but his growth as a player. And these are the guys I think that the Pro Bowl, unless you're a real diehard, you probably just kind of like, oh, I missed the Pro Bowl today, no big deal. You know, or unless, of course, you get a chance to go to Hawaii and go to the Pro Bowl.
If you get a chance to go to Hawaii,
you should definitely do it. But I'm just saying, this is the kind of guy that the Pro Bowl needs to reward, and I'm glad they did.
And he's a guy you like to root for. Like you said, he's a very good kid. He's one of the nicest guys in the locker room, outside the locker room, you know, that you'll ever meet.
No question.
So it's the league needs more genuinely good players, good people.
Absolutely.
That like Matthew Slater.
110% agree. And that's why I wanted to bring it up. Everybody else was deserved. I think the only real snub here, and here's where I want your input at webradio@patriots.com. Who got snubbed? You can certainly look at the Patriots, but I also want you to consider other NFL pros that you feel like are Pro Bowl worthy that got snubbed. Let's open the discussion. Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-298-0398 as well. And drop me a note on Facebook. Hit me up on Twitter. Pro Bowl snubs. This is always a good topic. We can always usually find a few. My most obvious one is Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah,
without a doubt.
You think Gates got it more for his...
name only. Name recognition.
His reputation.
Because he was terrible against us. The Patriots totally had him bottled up way back in week two.
Well, but how about the rest of the year? He's played hurt.
He's played hurt, he's but played has he stood hurt. Out to you? Any more than Aaron Hernandez?
No.
There you go. He's getting it on his name recognition.
To be fair, I cover Aaron Hernandez every day.
But when you hear tight ends mention and you look at them in the national media, that's how I gauge this.
Yeah.
I read the national media. Yeah. I read CBS. Sure. I read Fox. I read NBC. Mm-hmm. I read ESPN. I read all the websites. I try to check in with all these websites once or twice a week just to see what the temperature is, you mm-hmm. know, just to see what guys are writing about, what guys are opining about, you know, what fans may be, you know, yakking about on chat boards and things like that. Who's been mentioned more as a tight end this year in the NFL than the Patriots' Gronkowski and Hernandez
mm-hmm.
in the AFC? Obviously, it's got to be in the AFC because the NFC doesn't matter here. And the answer to that is nobody, not even Gates, which is why I'm of the opinion this is one of those homer jobs that the players are like, Antonio Gates, throw him in there. You know? And nobody seems to disagree.
Well, and that happens every year, I think, with at least a couple of players. They get in. Usually I think it's more on the offensive line. They get in just because they've gotten there before.
I'm getting ready to go there next.
With Logan?
Logan Mankins and, to a lesser extent, Brian Waters. Now, again, I'm not saying both guys or either one of those guys is not worthy. I think they are worthy. But I also believe that the candidacy this year was kind of watered down a little bit. I don't think anybody really stood out. Yeah, and I'm not sure. Mankins, to me, that's a rep pick if there ever was one. He was one of the worst offenders on the Patriots offensive line in penalty situations this year.
He's the highest penalized individual.
There you go.
On the team.
There you go. To me, that's not Pro Bowl caliber player. It's just not. So this is a reputation thing. Waters, 11 years with Kansas City, had what, two Pro Bowls with the Chiefs, I believe?
Two or three.
Okay. Once again, I'm not saying that he had a bad year. He seemed to fit right in. He certainly was a consistent piece to the puzzle, especially when you're a newcomer to an offensive line and you know that an offensive line really has to operate. You got, you know, five guys that have to operate as one to be effective.
Mm-hmm.
And they did at least an adequate job. I won't say an outstanding. I will say adequate job of protecting Brady because he did get hit a lot this year. Although I think the Patriots, I read, were sixth fewest in quarterback hits this year, allowing quarterback hits. Sixth fewest in the NFL. I saw that number this week somewhere.
Okay.
So that means there are only five teams that allow the quarterback to be hit less than the Patriots. So that's certainly an adequate number. And Waters was certainly a part of that. Then again, so was Mankins.
Mm.
So to a lesser extent, I'll agree with Waters, but knowing that he was an 11-year pro and that, you know, he really didn't create any headlines meant he sort of fit in, I think, to the puzzle as a nice, solid, four-cornered piece to that puzzle.
Mm.
And to me, that's probably one of the reasons why he earned the berth. But Mankins, I think we all agree, Logan Mankins is probably the best offensive guard. He may be the best offensive lineman talent-wise in the NFL. He might be. You can certainly put him in the discussion.
Oh, yeah.
But he did not have what I would call a Pro Bowl caliber season for someone who much is expected.
Yeah.
Is that a fair
criticism? And I think the penalties are what stand out.
Well, of course it is.
Not necessarily.
How else do you judge somebody? Really?
Well, by their individual performance. In Logan Mankin's case, you know, when Brady did get hit, how many times was it from the left side on the interior?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he did have some struggles
with that.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to go back and study the tape.
You'd have to go back and look at the tape.
Seriously, but
that's right.
I think you could also make an argument there that there were a lot of times where Brady got pressure from that side.
Right.
It certainly wasn't his best, wasn't a career year.
No.
Put it that way. No. But in his defense, as I was saying before, it's not unprecedented for offensive linemen to get in based on their reputation. Guy that used to play for Pittsburgh and briefly for the Jets, guard, used to get in every year, and it was at sometimes I think it was just because nobody else knew who the guards were in the league. His name is escaping me right now, but he played forever for the Steelers, and then joined the Jets as a free agent a couple of years ago.
That wasn't Steve Furness, was it?
No, recent.
Oh, recent.
Recent.
You're
going to kill me. But
yeah. All right.
he was a recent poster child of that.
Okay.
You know, offensive lineman just getting in year after year.
Right.
Because people know the name.
Okay.
When you know an offensive lineman's name, generally it's for a good reason.
Yeah.
And a lot of times that's why they get voted, you know, time and again to the Pro Bowl.
Well, that's why I think, you know.
As opposed to a position like wide receiver where you can see stats, you can see production.
Non-skill positions should not be voted on by the general public.
Well, and that's something that Brian Waters kind of, I think, hinted at today. I asked him that question about reputation, and it elicited a little bit of a fiery response from him because he said he has some strong opinions about the Pro Bowl as a whole, the voting of it, when it's held, that kind of thing. He wouldn't go into too much detail, but it sounded like he, if we could get him to talk about it, it might be pretty interesting to hear what he has to say.
Well, do tell what you know without giving away your whole story.
Well, that's pretty much what he started off by saying, you know, offensive line's a tough position to judge when it comes to Pro Bowl voting. So I use that as a foot in the door to ask the question, like, so do you think reputation has a lot to do at your position more so than at other positions? And that's when he said, you know, I have some, you know, strong opinions about how the Pro Bowl is voted on. And he's like, but I don't want to go into it because he knew he would get himself in a little trouble.
Get himself in water,
yeah.
Hot water, yeah.
Yeah. And so then later I asked him, you know, do you have any – obviously you would rather make the Super Bowl than the Pro Bowl. And if you make the Super Bowl, you're not going to be playing in the Pro Bowl. And then he said, yeah, again, I have some strong opinions about the Pro Bowl, the whole thing about it, and, you know, whether it's held before or after. And he started to –
started to go, and then he backed off.
And then he backed himself off and realized
I don't want to
go. A little
too
emotionally invested, and he might say something he doesn't, you know.
I understand.
Say.
I get that. I understand.
And I think I know what he means. I think he would rather that fans not be involved in it. That's my impression. I really don't want to speak for him, but the impression I got was that he thinks it should be more left up to peers and. You know, people who study this, so that you can get an accurate gauge of who really is deserving, and that it should be held after the Super Bowl so that guys who are in the Super Bowl can get a chance to play in it.
That I can understand the players would want to do. I thought it was nice and novel to break up the off week with the Pro Bowl when they did that, but I also agree that also, you know, that takes out the guys, you know, that participate in the Super Bowl. Some actually do want to go. Some actually do like to have the trip to take their families to Hawaii and what have you.
And from a fan's perspective, now, I'm never going to turn down a trip to Hawaii, okay,
oh,
John?
No, never.
So, I mean, you know, if I got tickets to the Pro Bowl, if I was just an average fan and got tickets, I would go. But from a money's worth perspective, if I'm going to see a football game, I want to see good football. And if I'm going the week before the Super Bowl,
absolutely,
I'm not
going to
get all the good players who are on the two Super Bowl squads. So I'm going to see a lesser football game because there's lesser talent that's going
to
be playing it.
Honestly, that's part of the reason why I went to Hawaii to begin with, because they felt like the ticket would sell there regardless.
It would, but it was even better when it was after the Super Bowl, I always thought, because it was sort of a gift to the players and the fans.
Right.
Hey, football's over. Oh, wait a minute. We got one more game. One more game to top it off. Just, you know, since you've been such a great fan all year, great player all year, here's our gift to you. Go to Hawaii. Enjoy the off season starting now. Play one last little ceremonial game. Sit back. Enjoy the sun at Aloha Stadium. Now it just...
You ever been to Aloha Stadium?
I've never been to Hawaii.
Oh, my goodness.
I've been begging Fred since I got here
to
cover the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
And this was before it was, you know, before the Super Bowl.
You should go. Aloha Stadium.
Well,
Aloha Stadium's nothing to shake.
I would love to, but that would mean also we wouldn't be covering the Patriots in the Super Bowl this year.
There you go. And I think we'd all
last year was
there.
The year we should have gone because Belichick and the staff were coaching.
We're coaching
had a half dozen
should've
Patriots
gone.
Were in it.
I agree.
I tried to tell Fred he wouldn't let us go.
Oh, well. Is it Alan Faneca you were thinking of?
That's who I was thinking
okay,
of.
Yeah.
Yes.
Jamal just sent the email.
Yes, very good, Jamal.
Thank you, Jamal in New York. Thank you.
That's
it was
exactly
Alan
who
Faneca. Right.
And there were many years where I thought, well, what did he do any better than, you know, at the time, Logan Mankins, before he became a Pro Bowler? And I was thinking, Mankins deserves to go. And, you know, Faneca left. And people recognized Mankins for what he is, and now he's the one in that position, in the Faneca position.
Right. Okay. Well, okay, so there. Anyway, those are our thoughts on the Pro Bowl. Maybe some of Brian Waters' thoughts on the Pro Bowl, but we're not official on that just yet.
No, not yet.
But you know, I'd like to know how you, as a fan, as a follower of the Patriots, how you feel about that. Do you feel like the fans have too much input? Do they have too much influence? Should they have any influence at all? And did the Pro Bowl votes go the way you thought they should go this year? Webradio at patriots.com. Ace Ticket Hotline 508-298-0398. Or hit me on Facebook or Twitter. Want your response. Want your feedback. I truly want your thoughts on the Pro Bowl balloting. Everybody else, as far as, you know, who made it for the Patriots, I think we can all agree, most deserving. I don't really have any problem with the fact that eight Patriots are going and that the San Francisco 49ers also had eight going from the NFC.
Mm-hmm.
Got no problem with that. Green Bay had, off the top of my head, how many did they have?
I don't remember.
Did they have what, six, seven?
I don't remember.
I'll have to look it up again.
I'll check for you.
Okay. But, again, I'm not surprised. You're talking about two of the top three best records in the NFL, so it really should not have, you know, come as a surprise. Jacob on Facebook says, Hernandez, easy, my friend. I really hate how the Pro Bowl is turned into a game of who your name is contest. It should be about the season. Reminds me of last year when Gronk got left out.
Mm-hmm.
Gates over Aaron is an epic fail. Anyway, happy New Year's to you and Eric, and have
Thank
a safe
you.
And happy holiday and your friend in Gitmo. Jacob. Thank you, Jacob.
Thank you very much, Jacob.
Yeah.
Rodgers, Kuhn, the fullback, Jennings, wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
That's three. Scott Wells, their center.
Yep.
Those are all starters. That's
right.
Four. Now for reserves, they have, on defense, they have B.J. Raji is
five.
Clay Matthews, six.
Six.
Charles Woodson,
seven.
Okay,
seven. And the Patriots and Niners had eight each. That's what I thought. I just couldn't remember off the top of my head because I only glanced at the list yesterday when I was out of town. So, but that sounds to me about right when you consider they were the cream of the crop of the NFL this
year.
Sure,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's talk to Tim in Baltimore. Tim, you're in the playbook. How are you today?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Great, Tim. What's on your
Tim?
Mind?
I got a question. How the results are divvied up between the players and sort of a, you know, the players and the fans, is that information available, and like how would that have changed the Pro Bowl?
You mean the breakdown, the percentage breakdown of, you know, like
what
the weighting of it, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think that information is out there. I don't remember it off the top of my head, but I think fans have obviously a smaller percentage than coaches and players do.
So it probably wouldn't have changed it that much if the fans were excluded.
I don't know. It'd be interesting to see some year if they did it two ways. You know, if they did it the way they do it now, and then did it with excluding the fans, how much different the balloting would end up. That would be interesting.
All right,
you have it, John?
Yeah, I think so. It looks as if Pro Bowl voting. I want to say that the fans had a third.
That sounds
yeah.
right.
Players are voted into the Pro Bowl by coaches, the players themselves, and the fans. Each group counts one third.
Okay, so maybe
that's significant.
So maybe Waters' issue and again, trying not to speak for him too much, but maybe his issue is maybe the waiting should be a little bit more in favor of the players and coaches and less in for the fans.
Well, less in the fans. How about the media that cover the game? Because technically the media does not have any input other than to say or give their opinion as to who they believe is Pro Bowl worthy. Maybe there should be, you know, like they have the Baseball Writers Association of America.
The All-Pro team is voted on by media.
Well, then why? Yeah, so why not use that as a guideline for who should be Pro Bowl worthy? I mean, the football writers are certainly, you know, as competent as the baseball writers. Mm-hmm. The baseball writers have input for the All-Star game.
They do. Yeah.
So why should the football writers have input to the Pro Bowl?
Oh, you're preaching to the converted here.
Okay. That's what I'm saying. Right. And I actually think most players and coaches would be okay with that.
I'd love to have
because you're talking about guys whose, you know, sole purpose as a football writer is to cover football 365 days a year. I think that's appropriate.
Yeah.
Right?
I agree.
Now, well, let me ask you this though, Tim. How upset would you be as a fan if the fans' vote was taken away?
I don't vote anyway, so I really don't care. I mean,
all right. Well, I was going to say, but does that sort of defeat the purpose, though? You know, the NFL has really marketed itself as the fans' game, which I think is one of the reasons why the NFL has overtaken all other sports to become this nation's premier number one spectator sport. And if you take that part away from the fans, aren't they sort of like defeating the purpose?
Well, I mean, they could just have the fans vote count for the alternates. If it does make a difference, I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there.
You know what? I actually like that idea. That's a really good one. What you should do is let the coaches, the players, and maybe the football writers decide the Pro Bowl, and then like they do, you know how they did with baseball when they you know, have the 32nd man or whatever it is, last player on the roster?
Yeah.
You should let the fans vote on that like baseball does. I think that's one thing that baseball actually does right that football does not.
Yeah. One more thing about the Pro Bowl, though. I actually, when I used to live in Hawaii, I had a chance to go to the Pro Bowl in like 2008.
What'd you think?
And it was great. It wasn't just because of the game, but the tailgating there is really unique, especially in a Aloha Stadium, because you have fans there from all over the country. You get to meet people from all over the country, and they all have different stories and about their team and like why they're there. And it's a really great experience. I mean, Hawaii is a great state anyway. I loved it when I lived there.
I would love to go there.
How did you come to live there, Tim, if you don't mind my asking?
Oh, I was working as a biologist on a fishing boat.
Okay.
So, yeah, what I would do is I would go out and you know, basically live on long lining boats, like for tuna and swordfish. From, you know, they would usually go out there for like a month at a time.
Sure, sure, right.
Well, that's, and, yeah, it was pretty neat.
That's cool.
It was really neat.
Did you find though that all sorts of teams were actually represented by fans there, or was it really more
all,
you know, like West Coast?
There. I mean, if you walked around, like Aloha Stadium is set up. I mean, they actually have a flea market there like every weekend.
Mm-hmm, right, I knew that.
And it's and so you can walk around the entire stadium, and you'll find I guess I don't know if you call them little fiefdoms, little shanties from each NFL team, you know, kind of hanging out together. So.
Yeah, that is kind of cool.
It is really neat. It is really neat. Yeah.
Where is Aloha Stadium in relation to, I guess, for better lack, downtown Honolulu, or like the beach? Is it in the
it's,
city
it's,
or is it like near
no,
the near the coast?
It's a little bit outside.
Yeah.
Right. It's a little bit outside. I mean, like, the traffic in Honolulu is atrocious. It might take about half an hour to drive there.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Well, I mean, you got to remember, you're talking about a small island here. The island of Oahu is not big.
No.
Yeah.
And Honolulu is a good-sized city on a relatively small island.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, like, one thing, though, if you guys ever do actually end up going to the Pro Bowl, one thing you should do, though, is go to the island of Molokai.
Mm-hmm.
It's I don't know if you guys ever heard of it. But
I have.
There's a tourist attraction there. It used to actually be a leper colony. And it's like one of them, it's really isolated, and the whole island is really underpopulated, you know, because they keep it that way. But it has the longest white sand beach, in the whole state.
Hmm.
And me and my wife went there. We were the only ones on the beach.
Pretty cool.
The longest beach?
And you were the
only ones?
White sand beach in the whole state.
And you were the only ones there?
I hope you took advantage of the situation.
Yeah, seriously.
Leper colony or no leper colony.
Oh, yeah. Well, the leper colony was, but seriously, if you guys ever go there, go ahead and, like, do that trip. It's really interesting. It's a national park site now. You basically take a mule ride down the cliff, and it has, like, 20 or 30 switchbacks, like, all the way down, and you're looking out at this. You know, it's a really beautiful area, and you get to learn about the history of it and everything like that. But
right.
you guys should check it out if you guys ever get a chance. Hmm.
Definitely. Definitely will do. Hey, thanks thanks for your input, Tim. Appreciate the perspective.
Thanks, Tim.
You got it.
All right.
Tim's in Baltimore by way of Hawaii, giving us his input on the Pro Bowl. You can do so as well. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398 or web radio at patriots.com. Wow. Yeah, I do kind of feel that the NFL, I think their original intent was to really make the fans feel inclusive, and the process is inclusive.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt about it. But I'm not so sure that it's the 110% right thing to do in this instance. Mm-hmm. If you really want to avoid snubbing. And I think baseball kind of got this right, because generally speaking, the guys, the cream rises to the top,
mm-hmm.
and then fans have 100% opportunity to vote in a substitute player that might have gotten overlooked. And I think where the fans could really pay off here, as far as the Pro Bowl is concerned, is to leave two or three, after injuries and all that kind of stuff is taken care of, let the fans decide on who should fill in, the spots that are open and available. Don't you think?
Sure.
Because I think fans are just as knowledgeable as the media in this particular instance. In this day and age of everything being available on the internet, and nobody's going to fly in under the radar, really, here.
Right.
So that's why I think fans are just as capable, as opposed to the media and the coaches and players who live, breathe, eat, sleep at 100 and, some odd hours a week, 365 days a year.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? I know some fans are also like that, but you never know.
You know what would also help increase vote? I don't know if they do it or not. Maybe they already do it, but can you win tickets to the Pro Bowl by voting?
I don't know. They should. They may do that to some extent, but they should do that. Every team should be able to
some way.
Should be able to give away a package,
a
to the Pro Bowl. Yeah, I agree.
Whether
you do it with
tickets.
Season ticket holders or something, but I don't know. I agree.
Because I think like Tim said, he didn't vote for the Pro Bowl, so he didn't care.
Right.
Well, if tickets to Hawaii were on the line,
would you
care more?
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
Would you vote more?
And if your vote, you'd automatically, got counted, then
right.
You would automatically be thrown in with hundreds of thousands of other people for a shot at some Pro Bowl tickets.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people that would probably take advantage of that.
I might take advantage of that.
Try to get there. All right, so that's our Pro Bowl thoughts, at least initially, and we're still wanting yours at webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398. There was some news to make this week as well. Tom Brady was named AFC Offensive Player of the Week again for, I believe now he has tied Peyton Manning, right?
20 times.
20
now,
times
yeah.
in his career that has happened to him.
Three this year.
Which, I guess shouldn't come as a tremendous surprise, although I think we can all make the statement that in the first half against the Dolphins, he was horrible. Horrible.
Not just him.
The whole team was horrible,
team was.
But Tom Brady was right there at the forefront of horribleness, and they had an outstanding second half, which saw them score 27 points.
And then we noticed this after the game, and others picked up on it, asked him about it the next day, but he didn't look right afterwards.
No.
Particularly the left shoulder.
Right.
Left.
He took... Oh. Correct. but he has he took a pounding earlier this year, too.
He did.
Early in the season.
He did.
And we know he knocked him off kilter for a while.
But I bring that up because it's the last game of the year.
Okay.
They have a bye week already sewn up.
Oh, you guys argued about this at the end of the show,
a little bit.
Didn't you?
Yeah. We brought it up. We discussed it. Is it worth... Now, he wasn't at practice today, I should add. And it might turn out that he's not injury-related when the report comes out at 4 o'clock. I don't know. But if he is injured, does it make sense to play him against Buffalo?
Well, if he's injured, if he's on the injury report, I would agree. You shouldn't play him because you do have a first-round bye clinched. Now, that being said, if Tom says, I can go, I think you should play him because I do believe... That I think it's worth playing for the home field advantage throughout. In other words, I feel much more confident in the Patriots' ability to beat a Pittsburgh or Baltimore here than I would if they had to go to Pittsburgh or Baltimore. So I think that could be the difference between getting to the Super Bowl and not getting to the Super Bowl this year. In that regard, I say you got to play him. But if he's legitimately hurt, and you and I we're not going to know this, so this is between Bill and Tom, this is what, and maybe the team doctors. But if you can go, I think you got to go. Because you're going to get a week off anyway.
Yeah.
So what's the difference here between 1 week and 2 weeks? You're going to get a week off anyway.
If what's hurting him is made worse by playing, then you decrease your chances of getting to the Super Bowl at all if you don't have your quarterback in the playoffs. Is it worth that risk?
I guess it really depends on what the chances are. You know,
is the,
what's the risk?
My question
what is the risk?
Is the risk of losing the number one seed more important to you than the risk of losing your quarterback for the playoffs?
Again, that's a question I'm not sure that you and I can accurately tackle because we don't know to what extent Tom Brady is injured. If Tom is hurt, I mean, his left arm's hanging or whatever, he's got to sit out. He needs as much strength.
His throwing arm, but it will affect his throwing.
There's
no question.
I think we saw that in the part of the problem in the first half against the Dolphins. He was missing things left and right. He was bad.
But he had a great second half.
Well, yeah. So that lets me believe that, you know, either A, he sucked it up. B, he took a shot. C, I don't know. Something happened. He didn't just go back out there and automatically things get magically better again. That didn't happen, Eric. So, you know, that's between Tom and Bill. And I think those two guys are the ones that are ultimately going to have to decide this. But I also believe he's going to have a week's rest anyway, one way or the other, regardless. I could see a more plausible scenario of him playing a half of football this week against Buffalo. And then as long as this team has a lead and isn't behind at halftime, I could see him coming out and getting the extra half. That, I think, would be a more plausible scenario. Because you're going to get the week off anyway. You've already clinched a week off.
No, I it's not the week off I'm worried about. It's the health of the quarterback and whether or not you're jeopardizing it by putting him out there.
Have they jeopardized him already? I mean, how many times did he get hit this week? Six? Sacked, what, four?
Well, but again, they were playing at the time for something. They were playing for the bye.
Okay, so that's why he was out there. You're still playing for home field advantage. You want the AFC Championship game here at Gillette.
Until this team can win home playoff games, and as we've talked about before, most of the players on this roster have never won a playoff game.
I understand that completely.
And the ones that they've lost have been here.
Until they actually can do it,
home field doesn't mean as much to me.
Don't you still feel like, though, that you got a better shot at home than you do at Pittsburgh?
Not necessarily.
I think they
play very well
really?
On the road. This team plays well on the road.
This team plays well on the road. As well as they did, like, say, against Pittsburgh the last time?
The last 2 years, I'm going by the roster is populated mostly by second, third-year guys, okay?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The last 2 years, they've played very well on the road. And the playoff games they've lost have been at home. So I'll take my chances on the road.
I have to disagree. Respectfully, I'm going to disagree. I want home field advantage as much as I can get it because there's a comfort level. I understand your point about the focus.
I'll take it, John. I'll take it if Brian Hoyer can beat the Bills.
Well, he might get a shot.
And if he can beat the Bills, great. We have the number one seed. That's great. And we didn't risk our franchise quarterback in the process.
Football's a dangerous sport. Football players play football. I mean, and if you're able to play, I think you should be out there playing. I don't think resting a bad shoulder, if it really doesn't affect you one way or the other, is worth him missing time over. If he can't be hurt any further to that shoulder,
I don't know that.
And that's part of what I was saying earlier. Yeah. You and I don't know the real answer to that, and we'll probably never know. I'm saying football players play football. All things being equal, if the medical staff says, yeah, he can go, he should go, regardless of what his wish is or anybody else's. You have to operate this as a business, my friend, business. And the business is to win games. And the business of winning games, I think it all holds true here. I think you'd much rather play at home than on the road because the percentages are certainly going to favor you at home. History will dictate that. Regardless of the Patriots' inability to win playoff games at home the last couple of years. I understand why you feel the way you do. I respectfully disagree with it. That's all. But I understand where you're coming from. What are your thoughts? You feel one way or the other about resting Brady as opposed to not resting Tom Brady, knowing what the Patriots have at stake here over the next couple of weeks? Webradio@patriots.com. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Yes, rest him, no rest him. It's a simple question. Let's take a timeout. When we come back, we're going to get to some more emails. We've got Eric's official practice report to get to. Obviously, want to talk about the signing of Lusaka Polite, because I think there's more to the story there than meets the eye. That's coming up in the playbook.
All right, guys. Ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
What do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature, isn't
it? Right? No.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Horizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochere. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Hey, Tom, what's on your holiday wish list?
Joy and happiness to all.
Oh, because I was thinking of giving you packaged coffee from Dunkin' Donuts.
Ooh, that's better.
Nothing beats Dunkin's packaged coffee. Right now, buy 3 pounds and get a fourth free. Only at Dunkin' Donuts restaurants. So give America's favorite coffee as a gift or stock up yourself. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Happy holidays, everyone. Glad you could make it to the house. Who's up for some Dunkin' coffee? Yeah. Grandma, let's start with you.
Hazelnut, please.
Cousin Mark?
Original blend.
Vanessa?
Your holidays are covered with Dunkin' coffee. Buy it by the pound or try our new Dunkin' K-Cup packs. Only at Dunkin' stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price of participation may vary.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Now is your chance to hit up John Rook inside the Patriots playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Call 508-298-0398. That's 508-298-0398. Now, back to your host, John Rook.
Voice of the Buffalo Bills, John Murphy, is going to join us in the playbook. Next hour, Kev? Excellent. That's what I thought. He will join us. We'll talk about the Bills matchup with the Patriots in the regular season finale here at Gillette coming up on New Year's Day. How many hangovers do you think will be in the crowd of 68,000 plus on New Year's Day? There you go.
Yeah, there you go. I did it in this segment. I think there might be some people who don't actually go to sleep because it's a 1 o'clock game.
That's true. Over under on hangovers at the stadium. I'll set it at
The attendance is 68,000 is a full house, right?
Right. So I'll set the over-under hangovers at about
30,000?
I was going to say about 35,000 to 40,000. It's a lot of lushes.
Over.
Over?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It'd be 50,000 hangovers probably.
Maybe.
And you're right. There'll probably be several thousand people who just don't go to bed at all. Get right up.
Right.
Or just stay up and go right to tailgating.
Go right to tailgating. Right. Probably pass out during the game at some point.
At some point.
You know?
Some point. Just bring a designated driver.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
You know, don't want to have to deal with that in the traffic aftermath after
Seriously.
The game is over.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Be smart.
Exactly.
Come on, son. Be smart. You know? That's all I'm saying. All right. I wanted to talk a little bit about here the signing of Lusaka Polite. Fullback was announced yesterday by the team.
Mm-hmm.
Fact remains that he does come from Miami most recently. But I think that his reason, in fact, Chad just sent me a note on Facebook. He says, John, what are your thoughts on signing Polite? Could we see a lot more Ridley? I'm really starting to believe Benny is hurt, and using a fullback to open up some gaps for a smaller running back could be a valuable asset. Well, Chad, I think part of what you have to say here, there is some truth to, and let me address it. Number one, I think we've seen over the last few weeks, if you've watched when the Patriots run the ball relatively closely, I think you'll see that Ben Jarvis is not hitting the holes with the force that he has normally been hitting them with.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why we've seen not only Ridley but Woodhead in these instances, because they know they can get more north-south. That indicates to me that there's some sort of a shoulder, arm, just some sort of a problem. Because you're trying to protect it. I think it's probably more of a natural thing than anything else. Doesn't mean he's bad. It doesn't mean he's lost for the season. It means that there's got to be something more than meets the eye. Lusaka Polite, obviously I covered him during his time at University of Pittsburgh. Certainly an adequate, if not capable, extremely capable, blocking back, fullback.
Mm-hmm.
Patriots haven't had a fullback really since Heath Evans.
Heath Evans, right.
And the reason they haven't had the fullback is because they feel like with the personnel that they presently had with the tight ends and with the offensive linemen that have doubled as blocking backs in short yardage situations, that it wasn't worth taking up the roster space for. But I would allow for the fact that because the depth situation is such now on the offensive line that they really don't have that luxury, and because guys like Gronk and Hernandez are so much more valuable split out and up on the line as opposed to blocking in the backfield, that the Patriots finally decided there was a need here for someone with his talents. And there is a need to be able to convert more consistently in short yardage situations, which we have seen some faltering with over the last few weeks. I mean, we've seen Brady sneak in for two touchdowns last week. And they don't want Tom Brady to have to do that if he's got a bad shoulder. So add all these little things up together here, and I think you can begin to read the tea leaves.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can also add to the fact that Polite is something like, I read that he had converted in like 40 of his last 43 third and short situations as a fullback when given the ball. That's extraordinary. That's extraordinary.
Mm.
And so if you can get a guy like that that has is batting well over 900
yeah.
in his batting average on converting on third and short yardage situations, I think you go out and you get the guy. again, he takes up a roster spot. But I think they also like him for the fact that he does play special teams, and he can excel on special teams, and he can only augment what the Patriots have on special teams. They got a Pro Bowler in Matthew Slater, mm-hmm. for instance. Thoughts?
To me, the fullback position has become almost obsolete in this league, the true fullback mm-hmm.
yeah.
position. And
right.
Polite is a true fullback.
I agree. Yeah.
He's not one of these tweeners. He's not an H-back. He's a fullback. And I think there is something to the fact that they've gotten away with not having one by inserting the backup offensive lineman in that position. And now they're banged up at offensive line. They can't afford to do that. And maybe Green Ellis isn't healthy completely. And they don't want to risk Brady doing, three or four QB sneaks a game when they're down in the goal line either. I think the signing makes sense for those reasons. Because otherwise, I don't see a need for him. It's not like they're suddenly at this point needing to change the offense, needing a boost. The offense is fine the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just not really an element of this offense that requires a fullback,
right.
unless you're talking about short yardage.
Right.
And if all those guys, have the injuries that are going to limit them, makes sense.
Yeah. I believe that, the time has come for that particular signing making sense in this roster when previously it did not.
No, because you don't line up in the I formation anymore with
nope.
this team.
In fact,
have
they lined up in a true I once this year? I know they've gone to the offset I a couple of times, but, where we've seen, one of the linemen, or we've seen Gronk.
Yeah.
And I think we've even seen Hernandez line up as the fullback
right.
in an offset
it's a broken
eye.
Yeah,
an offset eye.
Mm.
But at the same time, I don't think we've seen a true eye at all this year.
I don't think so.
We might have in a short yardage situation early when Dan Connolly wasn't playing center because he was the blocking back.
Yeah.
But other than that, that would have been early in the season.
Yeah, no. It's certainly not enough that you say, man, this team is really lacking a fullback.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's the only thing I can think of is short yardage.
Yeah. Yeah, short yardage. They don't want to use an offensive lineman because of the depth issues there. They'd rather the offensive lineman be available to play offensive line.
Mm.
And
the other thing maybe to consider is if Brady's shoulder is a concern.
Right. They don't want Brady doing the sneaking.
This week, well, no, I'm not just talking about the sneaking. They may run the ball a lot this week.
They might.
They might need a true fullback this
week.
Well,
they might to open up a hole. That's true. That's a good point. Maybe they go with more of a pro. Maybe this week we see more of a pro-style offense.
Especially if Brian Hoyer is taking most of the snaps,
right.
if not all of them.
They want to be able to rely on the running backs to just pound away on Buffalo, manage the game, try to throw up 21 to 24 points. Hopefully you can limit Buffalo to 1 point less than what you're able to get.
And it's something that Buffalo
yeah.
wouldn't be able to game plan for completely effectively because there's no tape for them to watch on what New England would do and how they would run it.
That's a very good point. See, that's the conspiracy theorist in you. That's what I like about you, Eric. a little bit of a conspiracy thing about you. But you know what? It makes perfect sense. Makes perfect sense. We could actually see some I formation backfield and just some ground and pound of the Patriots variety.
Yep.
With whether it's Green Ellis or I think Stephen Ridley mm-hmm. has shown we've seen some missability out of him. I love mm-hmm. that adjective and
yep.
and I think we've seen that he's capable potentially of being an every down back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they'd like to see what he could do with maybe a 20 carry game and maybe you let Polite block in front of him. Follow me, young man. I'll show you the hole. And that's basically what you're looking at. Could happen. You could see, Woodhead back there. Depending on Green Ellis, if he's one of those guys where I'm thinking, he's kind of like Brady. If he's able to play, he should play. But you know what? If you've got these other guys who are just as capable, maybe Ben Jarvis sits out this week.
It would be
and takes the 2 weeks off.
Well, it would be interesting to see how he and Ridley run with a fullback in front of them. Whether or not how much that changes the way they're
I'd like to see
they're
it.
Running.
Well, I think we realize that he's got a little shiftiness to him that Ben Jarvis does not have.
Yeah.
And that's why I favor that out of a guy like Stephen Ridley. I like to see that missability. Mm-hmm. I want to see a little wiggle. I want to see a little Reggie Bush wiggle.
A little burst, too.
A little burst.
A little burst.
And Reggie Bush did that this last week.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so because of that, I think they look at a guy like Ridley as not being Reggie Bush, but being Reggie Bush-like in his somewhat elusiveness as he gets past the line of scrimmage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's made guys miss him before. In an open field, he's made guys miss him. Just like Reggie Bush can do. That's something I don't believe is coachable. I think that is you either
instinct.
Got it or you don't.
Yeah, that's instinct.
That's an instinct thing. And I think I feel like a guy like Ridley has that instinct. Don't you think?
Yeah. From what little we've seen of him this year, more often than not, he's produced.
Yeah.
I like what I've seen.
Yeah, I would agree. 13 carries, 64 yards this last week against Miami. It's a pretty good day. It's pretty doggone good. That's 5 yards a carry for the most part. That's right there. So, you know, that's you get that out of your running backs, you're not going to have any problems at all. I don't care how many times you're running the ball if you're getting 5 yards of whack. So anyway, that's the thoughts on a guy like Lusaka Polite coming in. I can't say that it is a an earth-shattering move, as Eric sort of alluded to, but at the same time, I think that's some of the reasoning behind the move probably being made for this team at this stage of the game. All right, what was the rest of the practice report today?
So, as I said, Brady wasn't there. Mankins, of course, with the sprained MCL, left MCL.
Right.
Not there. Sebastian Vollmer, not there. They were in shells. They were outside. Your guy, Brandon Spikes, was out there.
Mm-hmm.
Returned to practice.
Well, that's...
Chung continues to be out there at practice and continues to miss games. I don't know what to make of it.
Other than the fact
I don't know
that
what to make, especially when the guy talks the other day.
Yeah, usually you don't talk if you're hurt
yeah.
and you're not going to play.
And you're not going to play.
Could he have been a late scratch? Were they just decided well,
usually the late scratches come out and do something beforehand, and he wasn't out there beforehand.
That's just bizarre. Why would they be saving him over anybody else for the playoffs, so to speak, when last week arguably meant more certainly than this week does?
Which is, yeah, I don't know. And that's my whole point with Brady. Last week meant more than this week does. And you made the argument, you know, if Dr. Say can play, he plays. But you were just talking about Green Ellis getting an extra week off.
Mm-hmm. So you think I'm contradicting myself?
I'm just pointing the fact out to you. Let you decide whether or not you want to change your statement from earlier.
What's the texting nomenclature? STFU, Eric?
I don't know what that means. I think I can figure it out.
That actually segues.
Shut the front door? No.
Yeah, no. It segues good into what I wanted to do next.
Yeah?
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, it's time to pull up your britches, put on your Argyle sweaters, puff on your corn cob pipes, and gather round the fire for Eric Scalavino's Word of the Day.
I love it.
Do you have a Word of the Day for us?
Sure. I will give you two Words of the Day for the price of one.
Okay.
Because they sound exactly the same.
Okay.
Knave.
Knave.
And knave.
Knave. Knave, K-N-A-V-E?
That's one. And that's a scoundrel.
Right. A knave.
Person of ill repute.
You silly knave.
Right.
Another word, Andy Hart.
Yes. Yeah. Andy Hart would be a knave.
Andy Hart would be a knave.
Especially if we lived, 400 years ago.
Right.
And knave. Drop the K.
Okay. N-A-I-V-E?
No, N-A-V-E.
N-A-V-E?
Yes.
Okay, I'm not familiar with that one. You got me on that one.
It's the long main central aisle of a church.
It's called a nave?
A nave, yes.
I did not know that.
And at the front, you have the altar, obviously.
Right.
And the two extending arms at the front of the altar are called the transepts.
I think I knew that. I did not know that the aisle was called the nave, however.
Mm-hmm. Now you do.
I learned something new today. Thank you, Mr. Scalavino,
You're
for educating me today. I now feel as I am a little smarter than I was 30 minutes ago.
Good. Now, knave, go get yourself to a knave.
That's right, because you need it. All right, man.
All right, I'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
Very good.
Mañana. All right, Eric Scalavino, PFW. What time is Mr. Murphy joining us, by the way, Kev?
3:30.
That's what I thought. Okay, let's hold on to it here for a couple of minutes, and then we'll take a break before he gets ready to join us. Web radio at patriots.com, the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. If you have some Pro Bowl comments one way or the other, love to hear from you on that. Let me see if I can. I've got a couple of Pro Bowl comments up here right now, in fact. Oh, Kevin, before I'm going to share the joke, okay? I'm going to share the joke. Kevin sent me a joke. Who did you get this from, by the way?
I got it from a good friend of mine who I live with currently, and he sent it out to myself, and there's four of us that live in the apartment, so he sent it out to all of us.
Each of you? Okay.
So kind of as a, I don't know, a male bonding type thing.
Okay. All right, I believe it. It's a funny joke. I had not heard it. I hope not to offend anybody, but it says, all right, this is the difference of friendship, really, right? Difference
yep.
of friendship.
It's basically just how friendship works between two males or two
females. Right. All right. So friendship between women. Here's an example. A woman didn't come home one night. The next day she told her husband she had slept over a friend's house. The man called his wife's 10 best friends. None of them knew about it. All right. Now, the difference of friendship between men.
So in other words, none volunteered to be her alibi.
No one wanted to be her alibi. No one wanted to call her under the carpet. No, women are just like, ooh, I don't want to touch it. Men, however, friendship between men. A man didn't come home one night. The next day he told his wife that he had slept over a friend's house. The woman called her husband's 10 best friends. 8 of them confirmed he had slept over. 2 claimed that he was still there. Yes. Guys.
It says united we stand.
Yes. Guys, I got your backside. Women, you'll have to fend for yourself. I know. Believe me, I know. TG and NJ says, of the 8 Pro Bowlers from the Patriots besides Gronk, who else do you expect will actually go? We know Brady and Carter won't make it. That's a great point. Or TG, are you trying to bet on the Pro Bowl? See if you can get an odds on, you know, the AFC versus the NFC. My guess would be that everybody will probably go, but it really depends on A, whether or not the Patriots are in the Super Bowl, and B, if anybody gets hurt over the course of the next couple of weeks. I mean, if they're healthy enough to go, my guess is that they'll go. Brady won't because of his injuries. Or he'll beg out of it one way or the other. Carter, we know, can't. Although I guess the players still could go on the trip if they want to go. I believe they're entitled to do that if they do go. Brian Waters, we know, would love to go. I would imagine Gronk would love to go. Welker would be the only other one just because, you know, as we all know, Wes Welker takes such a pounding that, you know, he might not want to do it. He might just, you know, not want to risk it, and knows that he can't, if he's going to show up and is able to play, he can't necessarily just enjoy the week. So, you know, you'd have to suit up and play. So, I don't know. That would be the only other one that I would think of. But I think if they're able to go, I think they would definitely go. Chad says, John, hello. And yeah, I'll say hello to Eric the day he actually picks us to win a game. Ooh, I wish I'd read that one when he was here. Matt Light, John, I agree with Pete and myself. Light really had an outstanding season. Then I'd say Connolly. Saw him shut down Jay Ratliff, John, and throw pancake hits. Fletcher should have been selected as well. I like Vontae Davis as another possibility for being a Pro Bowl snub. I don't approve fans selecting Pro Bowlers. It's another marketing move fraud. Associated Press is fine. Seriously, the whole Pro Bowl voting is getting ridiculous. Fans and Woody Page are now in charge of deciding who's good and who's not. Thank God Tebow wasn't selected. If he was, Sarah Palin would be singing the national anthem every week in Denver. Ugh. I have a quote for you, John. It's from Brett Favre. Man, that's some tight pants you got on, Bubba. Where did I see that? Where did he say that? Was that in one of those Levi commercials he was doing? Yeah, that's what it was. Was it him and Dale Earnhardt? Is that what he was?
I don't know. It was the. I have a clip of him saying something. Hang on, let me see if I can find it.
Okay, all right. I thought I'd heard that, you know.
Hey, that was some tight pants you got on.
That was that one I got from like an NFL like sound effects type thing, like
right.
On NFL Network.
Right. I'd heard that was one of the lines that people thought was said in that whatever it is, Levi Jeans commercial he does with Dale Earnhardt Jr.
I don't know. I don't think I've seen that one. To be honest, whenever I see that man on TV, I change the channel.
Well, you're not going through your Favre withdrawals?
I've always wanted to be a Packer.
I think I always will be a Packer.
Okay. Brooklyn Matt. Hey, John, you know, your question for the day is, who do you think got snubbed? Know who did? Me. That's who. At the end of yesterday's In Progress, they mentioned that you were at St. John's last night covering Providence basketball. John, I could have jumped on the subway and been there on the Queens campus in 15 minutes. I could have said hello and gone up with you into the broadcast booth and given you the New Yorker-style razz throughout the whole game. Wouldn't that have been fun? Afterwards, you could have gone back to my apartment and had a fun sleepover to boot. Somehow, I don't think that's my idea of fun, but hey, thanks anyway, Brooklyn Matt. And he says, Eric, so nice of you to grace us with your presence. Nobody's believing you have anything better to do during Christmas week. What's with all these days off? I'm getting Eric withdrawal symptoms. I need my usual amount of Snooty Scalavino each and every week. I think we just gave him his dose of Snooty Scalavino with the word of the day. Didn't we just accomplish that? Come on, Matt, we love you too. Although no sleepovers. Gene in Daytona. I never vote for the Pro Bowl and hate it because it has become a popularity contest. It is a meaningless achievement. Gene, I happen to disagree with you there. I don't think it's meaningless at all. I think this achievement means a ton to the players themselves. But in the overall scheme of things, I understand where you're going, but it's not totally meaningless. I mean, if you were named Pro Bowl and you were selected by your peers for the Pro Bowl, even if you were selected by the fans in a popularity contest, as you put it, I think that's pretty cool. It means that, you know, you've done what you really set out to do, and that is entertain. And isn't the game about entertainment? What's the line from the movie Gladiator? Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained? That's what I'm asking. That's all they're asking. That's all the NFL's asking. Says it's just a marketing scheme for the NFL to connect with fans and somehow put dollars in the NFL's pockets. Players that are not as popular but much more deserving do not get selected and want nothing to do with it. I believe being an all-pro selection is a more valuable achievement. Lusaka Polite has only failed once in about 28 tries for first and ones. Did we pick up this guy a week too late? Tom injured himself on the second goal line touchdown. Tom should not play this week, and besides, we play more determined on the road. Sounds like Gene's kind of sliding towards Eric's way of thinking, I should say. If he's able to go, he should go. I don't believe in holding guys out because, oh, we got to buy. I don't believe in that. I don't believe it. Players play, period. Let them play. Gabe in Newtown, Pennsylvania. Guys on board with Hernandez being left out. What about Arrington? He had 7 picks, tied with the league lead. No mention. Arrington, I think, finished 4th. I'm pretty sure he
I
was,
didn't see that.
I'm pretty sure he was selected 4th as far as cornerbacks, defensive backs are concerned.
That
which
doesn't shock me, though.
No, and I would say that there's going to be at least an even chance of him still working his way onto the team, depending on injuries.
Yeah, you can make the point that he's not a brand name and that kind of, you know, doesn't help his chances. But to be fair, a lot of those picks that he had came early in the season, and they were balls that he sort of poached that were either overthrown or deflected off
somebody. Yeah, but you still got to come up with a play.
You still got to make the play.
You
give credit where credit is due, but do I consider – I think part of my prejudice, we'll say, against him and especially guys on this team, are that I hold the defense in such a low regard that I don't I don't know, I don't give him much credit, I guess.
Well, I think it's probably because he was an afterthought and he was an injury substitution, and now he's played his way into the roster to where he's actually led the team in interceptions. And along the lines of, you know, Matt Slater's improvements, I think Kyle Arrington has also improved leaps and bounds over what he was a little over just a year ago. I think he's worthy. I would agree with Gabe in the fact that he's worthy. I don't know if he's worthy of starting, but I think he's worthy of being selected. And should he be selected, you know, with injury, thanks but no thanks, then I think it'll be a nice honor for Kyle Arrington. Gabe says, on a side note, I'm wondering now that Breeze has the passing record with Brady only needing 190 yards to break Breeze's record. I think it's 180. Brady threw for 387 last time against Buffalo in the loss. Would Belichick let Brady stay in the whole game if they managed to be far enough ahead, say by the fourth quarter, just to let his passing yards rack up a little higher so Breeze won't pass him in return? No. No, and I think that's a good question to bring up, Gabe, and I'd love to have seen this email before Eric went upstairs to write, but that's another interesting question. I think that, you know, he has a chance to set NFL history by being just the third player in the league history to throw for 5,000 career yards. We're talking pro football history. Now, we don't know how many more times that'll happen. It's liable in this day and age of, you know, passing happy offenses that it certainly could happen again, especially when you still have a healthy Drew Brees involved. But that being said, I think you should give Tom Brady, who has, you know, played with his various bumps and bruises and been maligned a little bit this year, but has still kind of carried this team on his shoulders. I think you should give him the chance to do it. If he wants the chance to do it, I think, hasn't he earned the right to do it if he wants to do it? Now, if Tom says, I don't really care, well, then fine. Then he doesn't play. But I think he's a competitor. I think he's going to want to be out there if he's able to be out there. And I think as long as he's going to be out there, why not give him a chance to put his name forevermore in the NFL record book? Now, I don't think he will ultimately hold the single-season passing record because, as you already suggested here, Gabe, you know, Breeze also has another game to play. So Tom would probably have to throw for 300 to 400 Bills easy against the Bills to even have a shot. Because Breeze is ahead of him by 100 and some odd yards and change. So he'd really have to go way above, I think, Breeze's numbers to have a shot at holding the single-season record. That's really kind of where we stand on that. But I do think, though, that having his name in the record book as a 5,000-yard passer in a single season, to be mentioned with a Hall of Famer like Dan Marino, I think, yeah. And if it were me, if I were the competitor, absolutely, I'd want a shot at that. Once again, I'm going to tell you what it screams here, guys. It screams first half this weekend. It screams first half. He's a little banged up. Maybe you don't chance it, but let him throw for 180 or whatever. Get his passing yard, get the 5,000 yards, and then sit out the second half, especially if you have a lead. If you don't have a lead, he might stay in there longer. He might. Because I do think home field advantage throughout is worth playing for. But the entire scenario screams first half. So anyway, Gabe says, I'm with you, John, and we need home field advantage if players are hurt. Better to rest here than travel or fly and have the injury aggravated in the flight. Okay. This comes from Chad. He says, did you ever read the book You're Okay, It's Just a Bruise? A Doctor's Sideline Secrets About Pro Football's Most Outrageous Team. It's very good. No, I have not read that. I would like to do so. Thank you for the note. Gene says, John, you're wrong. Eric is right on Tom and home field advantage. Well, gee, thanks, Gene. Are you going to tell me 4th and 1 of the goal line Tom will not try to sneak it in with a bad shoulder? Who are you kidding? Ask Tom not to fight. Are you crazy? Bill has no choice but to sit him if he doesn't indeed hurt his shoulder. Well, see, Gene, I think that's where you need to know a little bit more about, you know, common sense. I don't think Tom's going to do anything that he feels like common sense is not going to allow him to do it and be effective. Why are they bringing in Lusaka Polite, Gene? Why would they bring him in unless they were going to bring him in for a short yardage situation at which he excels? Tom probably did bang up his shoulder this last week on those two quarterback sneaks. Probably did. But it's his non-throwing shoulder. If he can play, he plays. It's football, damn it. That's all I'm saying here. It's football. Okay. Chris in Seattle. What a great question this is. I tend to lean toward playing, Tom. Our team's success hinges largely on the offense, timing, routes, situations, etc. I think the more real game experience, the better for the whole team, which includes the offense and Mr. Brady. I'm behind you there, Chris. If he's hurt to the point that it will affect his play, then rest him. I also see the value in having Hoyer play a game heading into the playoffs. Okay. I'm not disagreeing with that either. Chris says, I do not like the idea of playing Brady for the first half, then changing to Hoyer in the second. I would rather call Hoyer's number at the outset, prepare the whole team to rally around him for the Buffalo game, and then game plan accordingly. I think the value of that complete game experience for Hoyer, assuming Brady is injured to the point that he should sit, is more important than going for home field throughout by playing Brady for one half and then hoping for the early lead. You know, I think we can kind of overthink it here, gang, in all honesty. If you're healthy, you play. Football players play. We don't really need to know anything more than that. This is what they do for a living. They play the game. They get paid a lot of money to play the game. These guys enjoy playing the game, and they enjoy the risk that comes with playing the game. We're always talking about, oh, God, we got to protect him. He could get hurt. Oh, what are we going to do if he gets hurt? Football players get hurt every stinking day. Every game day, guys get hurt, and they go out for the year. We all realize that this is a problem. And it's a possibility every time Tom Brady steps out on the field. Oh, but we don't want to tempt fate. We don't want to take a chance here. Well, you've already taken 16 chances or 15 chances by playing him this year. And you didn't have a problem with any of those. Why are you having a problem now? Because you have the playoffs still ahead. And by the way, playoffs in which they have not been successful each of the last 2 years. What the hell is the difference? I just don't see it. Football players play. Rook. This is from Adam in Fort Worth. By the way, Adam, oh, thanks for joining us here. Say hello to my hometown for me. Whereabouts in Fort Worth do you live? He says, Brady needs to play unless he has a broken arm. While the past 3 years results in the home playoff games can't be totally discounted, it doesn't mean much. Every year is different, and this one will be different than the others. We didn't lose for the same reasons the past 3 years. We want to go after home field, and you have to be an idiot to think that Bill Belichick doesn't want it. Also, biggest point between that Pitt and Baltimore have been terrible on the road this year against subpar teams they should have beaten. While the intensity is always up a few notches for the playoffs, no one wants to come to Gillette for a playoff game. That's very true, Adam. I don't care what the last two home playoff results have been. Pats will not lose a home playoff game this year. This team has displayed a resiliency I haven't seen in a while from a Pats team. While the current roster is to blame for some of the struggles, they have also stepped up and countered when they have been punched in the mouth this year. That's a good point, too. They've been resilient. No one should scare the Pats in a playoff matchup. I'm actually looking forward to what all the morons at ESPN and NFL Network say when we win our home playoff games with the worst defense in NFL history. Bring it. All right, Adam, good email. Don't be a stranger. Let me know where you're from in Fort Worth. Good stuff. Say hello to my hometown. Jeff is in Tucson, Arizona. Jeff, you're in the playbook. Is he there?
Hey, thanks. How's it going?
Hey, Jeff. How's it going, man?
Hey, going well. I'm just a huge Rob Gronkowski fan, to be honest with you, because he's from University of Arizona, so a lot of fans here in Tucson.
As well you should be. As well you should be. And he's had a Pro Bowl year, and it's well-deserved. He's been the best player at his position in the entire NFL this season.
Yeah, and you know what? Also, the guy's just he's a stand-up guy. He's been to a couple of Arizona Wildcats football games here, and very approachable. My kids have gone up to him, talked to him, had pictures taken with him. Great guy.
Well, that's, you know, we've kind of gathered that. He's very friendly. He's certainly not afraid to pose with people, if you know where I'm going with that. You know, and I think that's a good thing overall. He just has to kind of carefully select who he poses with, if you know what I'm saying.
Understood completely. But anyways, I had a question about Matthew Slater. I've been following the Patriots all year, as I have normally every year, and I was surprised to see Matthew Slater selected for the Pro Bowl.
Well, we weren't, and we'll tell you why. Because I think, you know, actually the coaches and the players, they look for guys that are sort of unsung heroes. And the guy has truly been an unsung hero. I mean, he leads the Patriots special teams with 17 tackles. Doesn't sound like a lot, but when you consider that, you know, you really only maybe get two or three shots a game, and you multiply that by the 14 or 15 weeks they've played, all right, and you've actually come up with you're credited with 17 tackles, that means you are around the football, my friend, and you're usually the first one to the football. And Slater usually is the first one to the football whenever there's a kick return on. So that says something about his willingness to sacrifice for his team. He's down there and he's getting it done. He's able to fight through, you know, double teams and whatever, getting off the line of scrimmage. That's number one. Number two, he has filled in at wide receiver when he's been asked to. He's actually come up with a couple of plays there. And then obviously, the most obvious one is number three, the fact that he's been asked to play some secondary. In the secondary, he's played safety, and he's done so, and he hasn't really killed the Patriots. He had one bad game a couple of weeks ago. But for the most part, I mean, you're talking about a guy who has had no real formal training at the position. They've asked him to do that because of depth issues, and the Patriots are no worse from the wear. So you talk about a guy that's gone way above and beyond the call of duty, you'd have to say Slater's one of those kind of guys. And frankly, I think the Pro Bowl is made for guys like that.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I guess the first question that came to mind would be, what about Edelman? And I would think Edelman would be right up there, too, because of all his play all throughout the different positions all year, too.
Well, I think the biggest difference there is Edelman doesn't have the special teams influence in kick returns that Slater has had. I'm talking about defending returns and making tackles. And Slater, first of all, he's a captain of the special team, so that means one thing right there. That means that the players on the team respect his ability to lead them when they're kicking off or they're punting. That's something that Julian Edelman is not a part of.
Yeah, good point.
So that, to me, why Slater obviously gets an honor. And I'm not taking anything away from Edelman. All right, I think Edelman is frankly, Edelman's a superior kick returner than Slater. And certainly a superior punt returner. I don't think there's. I'm not going to argue that point. I would agree with that. But when you're looking for a special teams nominee, you're looking for a guy that does a little bit of everything. And Slater literally has. He's done more than most quote unquote special teams specialists have done this year, and that is he's also had to play snaps on the defensive side of the ball. So he's played special teams, offense, and defense. The only thing he hasn't done is kick it or snap it or hold it. And he could probably at least do one of those three.
Yeah, good point. I like that. That's good.
You know, I mean, I'm just saying he's done everything they've asked, and he's done it unfailingly, you know, and he's a good guy to boot. The guys respect him by naming him a captain. I personally, if you're going to let, you know, people have say-so here, I'm glad that, you know, fans agree that a guy like Slater should be involved here in some form or fashion. I also happen to think, though, that, you know, players and coaches should have a heavier weighted system. And then you can let the fans kind of, you know, help like they do in baseball. And maybe the NFL will actually get smart. I think it's one of the things, like I said, that baseball actually does well. But, you know, hey, the system is what it is. Fans, coaches, players, they each get a third vote right now. And he got in. And there's always going to be guys that get snubbed. But, you know, he got in. So congratulations to him.
Hey, right on. Well, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Jeff, thanks for taking the time, buddy. Have a good one.
All right, you too.
You got it. Jeff in Tucson. All right, let's pause here. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back. We'll talk a little about the Buffalo Bills. We got to go way back to remember the hurting that the Bills put on the Patriots earlier this season. We'll jump into that issue specifically with the voice of the Buffalo Bills, John Murphy. It's coming up next inside Patriots Playbook.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're gonna miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
What do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature.
Ooh, right? No.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you. From Boston sports to concert and theater, whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Hey, Tom, what's on your holiday wish list?
Joy and happiness to all.
Oh, because I was thinking of giving you packaged coffee from Dunkin' Donuts.
Ooh, that's better.
Nothing beats Dunkin's packaged coffee. Right now, buy 3 pounds and get a fourth free. Only at Dunkin' Donuts restaurants. So give America's favorite coffee as a gift or stock up yourself. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Happy holidays, everyone! Glad you could make it to the house! Who's up for some Dunkin' coffee? Grandma, let's start with you!
Hazelnut, please!
Cousin Mark?
Original blend!
Vanessa?
Your holidays are covered with Dunkin' coffee. Buy it by the pound or try our new Dunkin' K-Cup packs. Only at Dunkin' stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price of participation may vary.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson, and you're listening to Patriots Playbook on Patriots.com Radio.
Web radio at Patriots.com. Ace Ticket Online is 508-298-0398 if you want to join the program. They're getting into some of the Pro Bowl issues as well. Who's worthy, who's not, who got snubbed, and whether or not Tom Brady should play, in your opinion, this Sunday against the Buffalo Bills. My guess is that because of the competitor that Tom Brady is, knowing that he played not up to his usual standards, or your standards perhaps, against the Bills in the 34-31 loss back in Week 3, that my guess is he's going to want to play. I don't know if somebody will make that call for him and go over his head. The guess is that he's going to want to do that. And my guess is that the gentleman who joined us now here in the playbook, the voice of the Bills, John Murphy, is that you probably also expect him to play, don't you, John?
Yeah, boy, I didn't even think about that. The Patriots still, correct me if I'm wrong, but they can still play for Deed in the AFC, right? That's worth playing for, don't you think, to get that last game at home?
That seems to be the issue here, quite honestly. I think some fans are saying, well, he should rest because he's got a hurt shoulder and this game doesn't mean anything because they've already clinched a bye. And I'm like, well, but yeah, you've clinched the bye, but isn't the number one seed? I mean, wouldn't you like to have the ability to play everything at home if you hold up your end of the bargain?
Yeah, boy, I would think that's worth playing for. I really would. I'd be surprised if he doesn't play. I guess, obviously if he's injured or banged up a little bit, that's a different consideration, but I'd be surprised if he didn't play.
Yeah, well, I think we all would be. I think there's probably going to be maybe a little bit of a mix. The guess is that, plus he has a chance, and I mentioned this earlier, and I'm sure that nobody would admit this, but he has a chance to be a part of NFL history if he can hit the 5,000-yard mark. And I would think that as a competitor, you'd want a shot at that.
Yeah, that is amazing. I'll be honest with you, John. I sat down last night and started doing my Patriots chart spotting board and filling in some of the numbers. And
right.
At one point, I just started laughing at the ridiculous offensive numbers that Brady and Gronkowski and Welker in particular put up this year. I mean, you just don't see numbers like that. And there's still one game to play. I just kind of shook my head and laughed. Like, I can't believe these numbers offensively these guys have.
They're Xbox numbers, aren't they?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And credit to them. I mean, I looked today at the league stats and saw that the Patriots defense was dead last in the league in terms of yards allowed, and I thought, they are winning basically one-handed, and they're winning big one-handed. It's pretty impressive.
Tom, I said this when I wrote this in a column a week ago, John, that Tom Brady is going to go down, this season is going to go down as one of the all-time great single seasons for a quarterback in NFL history, and it's going to largely be unnoticed for two reasons. Number one, Drew Brees is going to outpass him by a couple of yards, so he's going to go down as the all-time leading single-season passer, even though Brady's right there with him. And number two, Brady's not going to win the MVP. Aaron Rodgers is going to probably win the MVP.
I know, and there's a lot going on. I mean, we saw it happening right off the – off the bat in September when the season began about the offensive explosion and people made note of it. But now that we're at the end of the year and that you see the numbers and see exactly how the numbers play out, it's been an amazing year offensively for all over the league, and the Patriots are right in the forefront of that, no question.
Philosophically, John, do you ever see the game balancing back out? I mean, we all know that all things in life are cyclical, and it usually is that way in the world of sports. Defenses usually do eventually do catch up to offenses, but it's taken a while now, and actually we've seen the game arguably go in the other direction, because you really can't name a team in the NFL that has what we would call a dominating, maybe even Super Bowl caliber championship defense this year. Will we see that again?
You know, I would think so, although, you know, it's not by accident. The rules have been changed to benefit the offenses. You know, the interpretations of the rules have been changed to make sure that, you know, that quarterbacks are protected and receivers now get an extra level of protection. Unless the league and the people that run the league want it to go that way, I don't think you will see it go back the other way, because on some level, it's hard to admit, but on some level, somebody has determined that offense, you know, sells tickets and makes TV ratings, and that's what they're interested in these days. And I don't know if it'll go back the other way unless somebody decides that defense is the key, and I don't see that happening in the foreseeable future.
I think that's a great point. Fact is that the rules will have to change first before we can go back to defenses being dominant.
Yeah, that's what I believe. I think, you don't have to too much time talking to players in the league, defensive players in the league who've been around for a while, to hear them make that point too. They know it was different, you know, 10, 12 years ago than it is now. And almost every year, I'm not saying it's a bad thing too. I'm not against protecting defenseless receivers, but almost every year there's a little tweak to the rules that sort of benefits the offense incrementally, and you add that all up, and all of a sudden you get the kind of offensive explosion we have this year.
Yeah, and you have things like the Brady rule being put into effect for, you know, guys lunging at quarterbacks' legs, you know, and now defensive ends and linebackers. Hey, let's talk to James Harrison for a couple of moments, shall we, about, you know, not being able to, you know, go 110% after the quarterback, which is their job. It's what they've been coached to do.
Right, and they're I do sympathize with defensive players who've had to alter the way they hit. And, you know, one of the things you hear about now you've never really heard before was aiming point, where guys aim, and they have to lower their aiming point to avoid helmet-to-helmet contact. And, you know, sometimes they call that pretty tight in the league. In fact, I watched two Patriots games last night. I watched the Bills-Patriots, and I watched last week's game. But there was one close call. I think it was in the first Bills-Patriots game, one just sort of a glancing blow on a helmet. And I thought, that's really not a helmet-to-helmet hit. But they called it because the referees have been instructed to, you know, to avoid those hits, to look out for those hits. And, you know, when they start shaving it that close, it does have an impact on the way the game is played.
No doubt about that. Great topic and debate, I'm sure, for another time. I did want to, you know, get your thoughts on, you know, the current Buffalo team. And it seems like, you know, week three was a long time ago. But how did that game impact Buffalo's season, in your estimation, now as you look back on it?
Well, it was the best win of the season, without a question, and the high point of the season, I think. And I recall thinking at the time, after that game, you know, and after that game, the Bills won, and they were 3-1 at that point. They were 3-0 at that point, and I thought, yeah, I hope this isn't the high point. I hope this isn't the end of it. And as it turns out, it really was the high point of the year, because the following week they went and lost at Cincinnati, and then they managed to win a couple more, but they started a 7-game slide in first week of November that they just finally came out of last Saturday against Denver, which I've never really seen a team fall off the table. There's reasons for it. Obviously, the injuries played a big role in it, but it's tough to watch a team that had so much promise and had really so much going on, you know, at that point, late September, to see it all fall apart like that has been pretty discouraging for Bills fans in particular.
Yeah, I was just going to ask. I mean, obviously, that was a breakthrough game. You kind of felt like, you know, maybe you had burst through a barrier with that big win last weekend against Denver. So is this all, I mean, the Bills largely being unsuccessful, is it predicated, you really feel like, on injury? Or was there something else fundamentally that really just never clicked here with this team?
Well, it was injury and lack of depth. And they had, you know, a lot of teams have been hit pretty hard with injuries. The Bills are one of them. But it was the injuries they had, you know. Fred Jackson, who got hurt midway through November. I mean, he was, I think, on pace to get serious league-wide MVP consideration. He, you know, I think it was something like 40% of the Buffalo offense went through running back Fred Jackson. And when he went out with a broken lower leg, that took a big chunk of their offense out. A week or two before that, they lost their really good center, Eric Wood, who I think would have merited some Pro Bowl consideration this year. He's an outstanding player, and he was out for the year with a knee injury suffered in Dallas in mid-November. They lost Kyle Williams earlier than that, you know, mid-October or so, really the anchor of their defense in the middle. That was a key loss. And they're just not good enough to have capable backups behind them, and all of that added up to kind of a collapse of the season, a seven-game losing streak. It was sort of helped along by a tough three-game stretch on the road at Dallas, at Miami, at the Jets. And it was tough to see him lose all those three games in mid-November, but the injuries certainly were the number one factor, I think.
Do you feel like, and it sort of coincided, if I'm correct here, correct me if I'm wrong, but it coincided, the losing streak with Ryan Fitzpatrick getting a contract extension, didn't it?
Well, the timing was similar. I mean, Ryan got his contract, I want to say Friday, October 28th. 2 days later, the Bills won a game in Toronto against the Washington Redskins. He played pretty well. Mm-hmm. And after that came the seven-game losing streak. I don't know if there's any correlation. The injuries, I think, were the big factor. I don't think it's as if, I mean, you say that, and I guess, and it's been said around here, too, the suggestion is that somehow once Fitzpatrick got his big contract that, you know, he checked out or wasn't paying as much attention or wasn't working as hard, and that's not the case at all.
Yeah, I don't mean to allude to that. I think it's an odd coincidence.
Yeah, it was an unfortunate coincidence, and it has not gone unnoticed around here, people have mentioned it, but I don't think that that's been the case at all. I think his contract is not outrageous. I think the last I looked, he was about the 17th highest paid quarterback in the league, and that's really, I think, where he belongs, you know, middle of the pack type quarterback. And he's up and down. He's had some bad games during this losing stretch, the seven game losing stretch, and a couple of good games, especially early on in the season. I think they need to even out those highs and lows, and you know, he's the kind of quarterback I think is going to need a strong supporting cast around him, a strong running game, and a much better defense than the Bills can provide to be successful. But I do think he can be successful in the NFL.
Well, I think there are a lot of people around here that actually are kind of rooting for Ryan Fitzpatrick. Number one, he went to Harvard. Number two, we all fear the beard.
Yeah, and you know what? He's a good teammate. I can see that. I'm not his teammate, but I can see that he is a really good teammate. And I just was observing today, watching practice a little bit, how he treats everybody the same. He is truly the leader of this franchise right now, and the face and the beard of the franchise, quite frankly. And he's definitely a guy worth rooting for. And I know he has a lot of good fans in the Boston area because of his time at Harvard.
Well, I think a couple of matchups I think that will be key to the outcome this weekend. And let me know your thoughts on this, John. Number one, Stevie Johnson is such a physical mismatch for a lot of teams, but he had, you know, and he and the Bills had a particularly good game against the Patriots last time around, and matching him up with a guy like, say, Devin McCourty in the Patriots secondary, and McCourty has had his struggles this year, and we have well-documented just about every single one, I think, here. Other side of the football, Gronkowski, I know that there's some familiarity with fans in Western New York because he's from that region. I know that the Bills media got a chance to talk to Rob earlier today as well, and having to match up against the Bills secondary, perhaps that's Jairus Byrd, perhaps it's not, but I think to me those two individual matchups, whichever one might end up with a little bit of the advantage, could certainly find them on the plus side of the scoreboard.
Yeah, I agree. Gronkowski is unbelievable. It's a great story too, and actually I used to play YMCA basketball with his dad Gordy
years ago.
Known the family for years and years.
Wow.
It's just a great story, all three brothers in the NFL, and Rob is, I mean, to me, he's the best tight end in the league right now, obviously benefiting from playing with Tom Brady, but just an impossible matchup almost with his length and his athleticism. I was watching the Dolphins game, watching him break tackles the other day. I mean, just ridiculous, and he really is at the top of his game. Very tough matchup. I talked to Bill safety George Wilson about it today. The question was, what do you do with both tight ends? I think Hernandez, who did not play, I don't believe, up here in Buffalo back in week three, and Wilson, I said, what do you do with both tight ends? And his comment was, you know, you got to do a variety of everything. You got to jam him when you can at the line of scrimmage. You got to double team him when you can. It's just a really tough matchup for the Bills safeties, and maybe the number one matchup on the board. I like the Stevie Johnson matchup, especially if it's Devin McCourty across from him.
Yeah.
I kind of followed McCourty's struggles this year, and Stevie is a pretty good playmaker. He doesn't have, you know, great stopwatch speed, or he doesn't. He's good size, but not a huge receiver, but he just has a knack for getting open and finding ways to get open, and he makes some pretty tough catches too, so I like that matchup from the Bills standpoint.
How different do you think this matchup is, injuries notwithstanding, between now and what this matchup was back in week three? Fundamentally speaking, philosophically, how will the Bills game plan change, if at all?
Well, I mean, the Bills are a different team, and I think that this was kind of a big topic at at Ralph Wilson Stadium today how both teams have changed
right,
a lot. And,
right.
And both teams have undergone pretty, you know, substantial roster renovations since that game. I think, obviously, the Patriots are, you know, they didn't get hit as hard at the key places that the Bills did with injuries, and that really is how the rosters have changed. But, boy, if the Bills could get four takeaways, they'd be in good shape, but I don't know if you can count on that. They did a good job, I think, in that first Patriots game, first of all, not getting down on themselves and giving up, and they got a couple of late scores in the second quarter that put them down. Instead of 21-0, they were down 21-10 at the halftime, which I think gave them hope. They were home, which made, I think, a great deal of difference in that game. So all those factors are gone. You know, I guess you got to hope that, you know, the Patriots get careless with the football again. I mean, they got bounces, too. I mean, they got tip passes that I think Drayton Florence interception was a tip right into his hands, mm-hmm. and he ran in for a touchdown. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, those are the kind of breaks that you get when you're winning and you miss dearly when you're losing. It'd be great to see those bounces go Buffalo's way this week, but you can't count on it.
Right, and I think, you know, there will be some that will say, well, you know what, the law of averages finally won out for Buffalo a little bit. They probably had some of those breaks coming their way because of the long winning streak. So, I mean, in all honesty, all things have a way of kind of working themselves out. Buffalo outplayed New England that day, and I think most people and most Patriots fans have finally come to that realization that, you know, all good things, including winning streaks, cannot last.
Yeah, and I think, you know what, that was a good lesson, I think, for both sides, and for the Bills and their fans. You know, it's not normal to have a 15-game winning streak
no,
in the NFL, one team
not.
Over another. And there have been years when the Bills, you know, play the Patriots very close. They haven't always been stumble bums, you know, just with no chance at all to beat the Patriots. And it's really not the way it's supposed to go to have a 15-game losing streak against any opponent, particularly a division opponent. I know the Bills are kind of rallying around an opportunity to sweep the season series from the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be a lot tougher than it was back in Week 3 with their injuries and with the fact that they're on the road. But I think that gives them kind of a focal point for this game to think that they might be able to sweep the Patriots this year. They have a chance to do that, and they have recent history back 3 months ago anyway to demonstrate that it can be done.
I think this would be something certainly that could boost you going into the offseason if indeed it does happen. And then I guess that kind of leads into my last question here, John. How will this team, in your estimation right now, change for next year?
Well, they got to get better defensively. I think they acknowledge that. You know, they're going to probably draft around 10th, maybe 12th, somewhere in that range.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they're in the market for a franchise quarterback. I think they've tied their fortunes to Ryan Fitzpatrick for the immediate future. So I think they're going to look at the defensive side of the ball for the second consecutive year, and they really need a good pass-rushing linebacker. They need someone who can put heat on the passer. I believe they're among the worst pass-rushing teams in the league in terms of number of sacks. So that would be priority one. I would look for them to get better defensively. You know, they might even tinker with their coaching staff a little bit on the defensive side of the ball. I don't know.
Really?
But in the draft, I think they're definitely going to be on the lookout for defense. I think they need probably a good receiver, maybe a speed threat at receiver.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's all kinds of needs. They need depth all over. That's why they're in the fix they're in now, because they just don't have a lot of players down the line that can jump in and play.
Is Chan Gailey safe?
Yeah, he is this year for sure. Yeah, I'd be shocked if anything happened there. You know, I think if you look at it from a reasoned perspective there in year two of a pretty substantial rebuilding project that mm-hmm. kind of went awry this year when the injuries hit, and hit with a vengeance in the middle of the season. And I think, you know, like in my mind going into the season, I was thinking the Bills could probably win 8 games. And I was thinking about it just this morning. If they didn't lose Fred Jackson and Kyle Williams and Eric Wood, they probably have like 7 wins right now, a chance to win their 8th, which would be double their win total from last year. I
right.
think they're kind of step-by-step slowly rebuilding, and it's been a painful process. There's no question about that. That 7-game losing streak this year was very painful, but I do think they're in year two of a project of rebuilding here, and I think Chan is the guy that's going to you know, be around for at least another year or two of that rebuilding.
John, sure appreciate the time today. Happy holidays to you and your family, and safe travels on your way to New England. Happy New Year.
Great. Looking forward to it. Thanks very much. Happy
right.
New Year to you.
You bet. John Murphy, who's the voice of the Buffalo Bills, joining us here in the playbook. Very honest with his answers, don't you think? Very forthcoming. The issue of players injured for the Buffalo Bills is rather significant. Last I counted, and I think this was a week ago maybe, they were second in the league in total number of players on injured reserve behind Jacksonville. I think they had like 16 players on injured reserve, and then Jacksonville was the only team ahead of them. So in that regard, you can understand why injuries, and we always say injuries shouldn't be an excuse because injuries are a part of the game, but the fact is that they are a factor in a team's relative fortune. Because if you have injuries, if you're not as deep as your opponent, then you're obviously going to be more susceptible to getting beat because you just don't have the quality depth. What this tells you, well, the Patriots have also had their fair share of injuries this year, and a lot of them have been well documented. Not 16 on the injured reserve, but they've had a fair number. Kevin, what is our number on IR right now? Can you look that up real quick? Because I lost count within the last couple of weeks. But at the same rate, what this tells you then is that the Patriots' depth, as much as we like to bang on it around here and to say, oh, you know, they've screwed up here, they've missed on this guy there, they have not done as good a job in the draft, and so there's been some criticism, and some of it certainly has been warranted. But what this tells you, though, is that the Patriots' depth is still superior to not every team, but most every team, certainly in Buffalo's case. And because they have better depth and because they've been able to go out and find better depth and, you know, the hidden gems, then this is the reason why the Patriots are where they are, and it's why the Buffalo Bills are where they are. And Buffalo is 6-9 going into the game this Sunday. The Patriots are 12-3 with a chance to be the number one overall seed in the AFC. And this is with a loss to Buffalo back in week three. Now, I think we can also all agree that Tom Brady doesn't throw four picks. The Patriots win that game. I think we can also probably all agree that if Tom throws only three picks in that game, one in particular, that the Patriots probably still win that game. So Buffalo is probably fortunate. But you have to give Buffalo credit for taking advantage of the opportunities that were presented to them, and the Patriots gave them plenty.
It's 12 guys on
12. I was going to say a dozen, and I flat out thought I'd be wrong, so I need to learn to trust my instincts, Pete.
Yeah, and like the who just happened to guess from the Bills,
John Murphy.
John, as John was just saying, I watched that game again today. You know, the two deflected intercepts, and Buffalo took advantage of it. That's not
they did.
Happen.
They did.
That's not going. Two of them, but one was off Welker, and one was off. Yeah. It's not going to happen again. It's just not, and it's still. Those four turnovers led to 24 points directly to Buffalo. They capitalized on it. There's no way that's happening again this week. Ain't happening.
I don't think it does either.
No way. And the Patriots still run that game to the very last second.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true. So, all right, our big question of the day then lately has revolved on whether or not Brady should play this week.
Yeah, absolutely. He's playing. I have no doubt he's playing. And hopefully they'll get out to a 30-point lead at halftime. And maybe, and then only then,
and
will
he
sit.
Rest him?
Yeah.
I think that's first. And I think you're right. You got to have the number one seed. You'd rather have it than not have it if you have a chance to get it.
Yep.
But number two, in the interest of history in the NFL, he's got a chance to hit 5,000 yards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, if you're a competitor, don't you want a shot at that?
Yeah, I'm sure he does. I'm sure he does. It also depends on how much Breeze is going to play. Now, they have a 1 o'clock game also. Mm-hmm. So it's not like the Patriots can hang around or you know, Breeze can break his record. But what I think is going to be funny, I was asking Kevin about this. I said, when Brady does break the record, I said, it's not Dan Marino's record anymore. It's Drew Breeze's record.
Drew Breeze's record.
Yeah,
you're going to put Marino up there. But, yeah, you're right.
Because
Breeze holds the record by what, 3 yards right now?
Right now. And he's probably, you know, you figure Breeze is going to play, you know, maybe a half. I don't know, maybe more. I mean,
well,
they're locked up. They're playing Carolina at home.
Are they locked up?
I got the scenario right.
Green Bay,
here.
New Orleans, the two.
I got it right here.
All right.
New Orleans clinches a first round bye. So they still have to play. So New Orleans with a win and a San Fran loss, or New Orleans tie and a San Fran loss. So they're still technically playing for that first round bye.
That's why you think Breeze is going to play.
So Breeze would probably play a lot.
I would think so.
You know. And they are playing Carolina again. I get that right here too. They're playing Carolina, I believe. Yes, they are playing Carolina. So, you know, that the way Cam Newton's playing, and the Saints give up a lot of points too and a lot of yards. That might be not a big blowout either. That could be close for a while too. So, you know, when it's all said and done, they may actually break each other's records for the second half of that game.
That would actually be kind of fun.
That would be
hysterical. You could see guys in the press box watching the game on the field, and then the other eye peeled to the monitor where the Saints are playing the Panthers.
So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. And if the Patriots jump out to a 21-0 lead like last time, it's positive that Tom would sit, but. It's because he just never does. Even though I know the left shoulder and that quarterback sneaks and woe is me and stop running him and all that stuff. But my guess is he's going to play at least three quarters. And if they have a comfortable lead heading into the fourth quarter, and by comfortable I mean 17 points, I think he'd probably come out. But
here's what I think: they'll play the first half. They'll have deferred when they win the toss, so they'll get the opening kickoff of the third quarter. And if they can score on that and give them a two possession lead or better, he's out.
Yeah, I don't know. Bill's usually a three-possession kind of guy before the game is over, but it's possible. It depends on, God forbid he gets dinged up a little more. I mean, then, everything.
I think that's why they would pull him at that stage.
But we'll see. He's such a competitor. It's just hard. It's hard to see him coming out of the game. He hates to come out of games.
I know.
Hates it.
And I don't think people realize that.
No, hates
Tom Thomas is as fierce a competitor as there is on the team.
Yeah. Hates to come out of games, so. Speaking of coming out of games.
Oh, no. Don't even.
But not totally unexpected, John.
But still. That was just a winnable game, maybe.
But maybe it's a. The scary part is it doesn't get easier.
No, they could be 0-8 in the Big East. I know, they could be 0-8. We're looking at it. But you know what happened last night? They got punched in the face. Now let's see what happens when they respond.
Yeah, as usual, you find out about teams' characters when they're down.
Big East is a street fight. You know it is.
Saw Notre Dame last night beat Pitt.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah. No, not surprised.
Pittsburgh losing to Wagner?
Oh, I know. I know. First time.
Wagner?
First time a non-conference home loss, and what was it?
Second time, because they lost to Long Beach at home earlier this year.
Right.
But I'm just saying, Wagner?
Wagner. They're a force.
I don't even think they're the best team on Long Island, are they?
Who is Stony Brook?
Might be.
LIU?
Might be. Wow, I know. I
haven't been to Stony Brook. Have you ever been to Stony Brook?
I've never been there.
Oh, haven't either.
I can't say that I will be going there. But
no, I mean,
with all due respect to Stony Brook, I don't have any reason to.
There's no reason to.
I know.
It's on the island. So.
All right, what's coming up, man?
Tom E. Curran will join me in the first hour, probably a little after 4:30. He got a little testy today with Bill a little bit in the press conference, which we're going to play before he comes on. Hey, it's a kind of story that people will overblow. They'll make it overblown, but I'll start it right here, and we'll start overblowing it here
because that's what we do.
Yeah, it was just that's it. I mean, it's because I love Tom to death, and he's a good friend, and any chance I get to bust his chops, I will do it. So
nice.
But he's coming on today at 4:30. We'll talk about that. We'll go over the playoff scenarios again. Got some other interesting little tidbits as well to share with the audience. Different things and. Now, my theory is, John, tell me how you feel about this. I've been breaking down the Ravens mostly over the last, because I do think they're going to be in the five seed. I think
the Ravens?
Five. Yeah.
I think
Pittsburgh wins. I think Cincinnati's going to beat Baltimore.
Okay.
And they're just going to flip-flop. So, but, you know, the Ravens, even their wins this year, the two Pittsburgh wins obviously are impressive. But after that, they remind me, and I've seen a lot of the games, I know you have too, and just looking at the breakdown and how they play, they remind me a lot of the 2009 Patriots, a lot, where the Patriots had a hard time winning on the road.
Okay.
Fundamentally, you know, it seemed like just different week to week, just not as consistent. Mm-hmm. Remember the blowout loss and the Patriots had in New Orleans and a couple of other shaky losses. And they remind me a lot of the Baltimore Ravens. So, and I just feel that this year it's a little bit of an easier road for the Patriots, especially as a number one seed, because although it could end up being Baltimore does have an upset in the first round. And, well, actually, they'd probably be favored. They play Denver or Oakland, which is what it would be, a 4-5 game, more than likely.
Mm-hmm.
You got to figure the Ravens, even though they'll have to travel on the road, would be favored. But the fact that they have to go on the road would be, again, an interesting test because they don't play well on the road. They've lost at Jacksonville. They've lost at Seattle. When Seattle was okay, it wasn't like at the end when Seattle was. So it could get interesting. I thought Skip Bayless this morning and – Stephen A. Smith. It was must-watch television on ESPN around 10 o'clock. I was peeing my pants laughing about Tebow. It's just absolutely. I've never seen you talk about all the abuse that myself and Freddie took with Brady and everything else. This guy, Bayless, when it comes to Tebow, and I think when he's not talking about Tebow or the Dallas Cowboys, I think he's very good. And although he does have the Patriots in the Super Bowl, which scares me. But it is hysterical, the man crush that he has on Tim Tebow. And you just bring up reason after reason after reason after reason as to why the guy is just, I just don't think he's going to make it as an NFL quarterback. He'll make it as a player. There's no doubt in my mind about that. But I don't understand why people just can't see through what he is and what Denver is. Denver is a fraud team.
I know that, but
there have been
a
million Denver Bronco teams out there over the years. Their defense is still, it's not very good, despite what people say. It's not, it isn't. It just isn't. They've just got lucky in that little stretch of total inept quarterbacks and offenses that they faced. They were handed pick sixes by idiots at quarterback, bad coaching decisions by North Turner and the like. Missed field goals. The list is endless. The list is endless. What they if they lose and Oakland loses and they back into the playoffs, I mean, the league will love it. The league definitely wants Denver in. But I think it would be interesting. How about Baltimore at Denver possibility in the first round?
Could be.
And then Denver.
Serve Baltimore right as far as I'm concerned.
Denver wins 5-3. Denver wins 5-3. And Denver comes here.
Great! Bring it on! All right, Pete's coming up in a couple of minutes. Very quickly here, Omar in Atlanta says, if Brady had the choice of the passing yards record, NFL MVP, or Super Bowl ring, I think we all know which one he'd want most. Pats fans need not worry if Drew and Aaron get the first two, respectively, as long as Brady gets the third, which he has a very good chance to get. Also, Gina Daytona. I believe Tom will play Sunday even if he is hurt. I think Lusaka Polite was picked up solely to stop quarterback sneaks. If Brian Hoyer was playing Sunday, we would not have needed to pick up Polite. Brian could have done the quarterback sneaks. Sad to say, but I believe Bill doesn't have much confidence in Brian. A few weeks ago, I got a glimpse of that when Brian was pulled late in the game. Tom sent back in just to take a knee. Told me a lot about our backup quarterback, and it concerns me. Do you remember that game? What are your thoughts on that?
But see, that's not uncommon either.
Yeah.
That's not uncommon either. Yeah, you don't bring in a backup quarterback to take a snap on a quarterback sneak.
No.
Are you kidding? Are you nuts? Unless you had some kind of refrigerator wildcat formation. Yeah. I mean, you're not going to trust a backup quarterback at the goal line in a very important situation to take one snap when he hasn't been in the whole game. That doesn't make any sense,
yeah.
My friend.
Yeah. Henry in Whitefish, Montana. I know there's a lot to talk about, Pats, Bills, Green Bay, New Orleans, but I think the game this weekend is in Jacksonville. St. Louis is almost assured to lose to San Francisco. San Francisco needs to win to keep their first round bye. Indy will need to lose to maintain the first pick. I'm sure both Jacksonville and Indy have rosters of proud men, but Jacksonville's in the same division. Last thing they want to see is Andrew Luck throwing 350 yards a game against them twice a year for the next 10 years. I think both the Jags and Colts are going to be desperate to lose, and I think it sets up to be some hilarious theater. What's the over-under? 12 turnovers?
Well, regardless of what happens, I think we talked about this last week, March 8th, circle that date. That is the day, 4 days before the trading deadline, and that is the day that Irsay and company are going to have to decide whether to give Peyton Manning $12 million or not. That is the day to circle. No matter what happens, that's still going to be the date to circle. March 8th.
I think he goes.
I think it's a good chance.
I think it's a good chance. I think you have to think about the future. I really do.
Yeah. Well, Irsay hadn't done that.
No, he hasn't.
They haven't done
that. And then if they don't do it,
yeah,
and they keep him, then Indianapolis deserves everything they get.
Yeah. Well, they deserve it now.
Well, yeah.
As far as the Bills injuries go, I feel no sympathy. Trust me.
Yeah.
Not after what this team has gone through.
And then the Patriots can kick their ass some more.
The other thing I think is interesting about Rex Ryan is that if they finish 8-8, which I think they're going to, I think they're going to lose in Miami. Why is no one talking about the possibility, and I know it's a little somewhat far-fetched, and Schottenheimer's going to go. There's no doubt about that. Why not Rex Ryan?
That's being a jackass.
Or at least I was talking about, at least he has got to be sat down, John, by ownership and spoken to shut the bleep up.
I know.
He's now a cartoon character.
It's right. Yeah. I mean, who's taking him seriously now that the team
will have
failed ultimately this year?
Nobody.
Probably won't even make the playoffs.
Tell me the last time you have ever seen guys like him that make guarantees as coaches, which is just unheard of in the NFL. You just don't do it.
Right.
That have ever won anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and okay, he beat the Patriots in the playoffs last year and he got to the AFC. Still, you know, in 20 years, no one's going to remember all that. They're going to remember that he was a jackass and was Bradshaw. It was Bradshaw, big bellied, loudmouth, or whatever he called him.
Right.
What have coaches like Rex Ryan ever won in the NFL? Name me one that shoots his mouth off and gives constant bulletin board material to the other team. I really was racking my brains trying to think of one coach that ever acted like he does and has won a Super Bowl. I can't think of one.
You could make a case for Al Davis and the Oakland Raiders, but it wasn't while he was a coach.
And I don't think Al Davis ever guaranteed they'd win a Super Bowl.
No.
I don't ever remember him
saying
that.
But Al Davis has always been pretty much out there with his...
No, I understand that, but I don't think... I don't know.
Wait a second. Here's one for you. Bum Phillips. Remember when the Oilers got beat in the AFC Championship game, and he guaranteed his fans the next year we're going to knock the SOB down?
And then they lost him again.
They lost him again to
Pittsburgh again.
That's the only one I can come up with. How's that?
Maybe.
Is that good?
Maybe, but that's one. You know, that's one. That's probably that's one time in a month. I'm not talking about like Bobby Knight types, who are just nuts.
Hotheads.
But Bobby Knight never said we're going out and we're winning the NCAA championship.
That's true.
As nutty as he is in his other ways,
that's true.
And a lot of other hot-headed coaches. I mean, there's a difference between being a hot-headed coach and a yeller and a screamer and a guy who keeps making a fool out of himself and putting added pressure on his team. I feel like, and I don't care what the Jets players say publicly, John, they have to be upset. They have to be.
Yeah, but they won't publicly say it.
Oh, no, I don't expect.
They're not going to throw their coach under the bus.
Not now they won't. Somebody will. Somebody will.
Eventually.
Yeah.
All right, Pete's coming up next. Thanks to John Murphy of the Buffalo Bills for joining us. We're back in here in the playbook. Same Pat's time, same Pat's channel tomorrow.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2. Yeah.